free speculations, and if others have better ones, you can, or have something from the scriptures, that would be even better. Well, that was actually my first answer, that the names of demigod and devotee are sometimes used interchangeably like that. The devotee is considered on the level of demigod. That's probably the most simple and straightforward answer. Also, sometimes we see that devotees also can somehow or another expand into different forms simultaneously. This is actually mentioned in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami gives example of Nanda Maharaj. We also hear about Nanda and Sananda as being associates of Lord Vishnu, right, in Vaikuntha. And Sananda Goswami says it's the same Nanda, who's also Nanda Maharaj, eternal associate in Vrindavan. How this happens, inexplicable. This is the great power of spiritual life and the power of these pure devotees, great associates. And I was also thinking that Vasudeva actually took several births, as we remember. There were three births where he became the father of Krishna. And wasn't it Dhanavir Goswami was telling us that he was quoting from the Garga Upanishad, which I guess he's translated and worked on, that during the time many demigods, many great devotees were waiting in the heavenly planets as demigods to descend and come on earth with Krishna. So there's several possible explanations, but I think the one Pundari gave us was the most simple and straightforward. The devotee is often also called a demigod. Okay. So, in this verse, we're learning that Krishna does not descend this into this world in an ordinary way by the normal process of procreation. But he enters into the mind of Vasudeva, then transferred to the mind of Devaki, and then into her womb. So it's explained here that this, when Krishna entered into the mind or the heart of Vasudeva, it was an awakening of full consciousness. So that this is mentioned here, that he became fully illuminated, fully aware, fully conscious of the presence of Krishna. So it's described that while Krishna, Prabhupada said this is not particularly amazing because the super soul is always within the heart of every living entity. Krishna is always there within us. But when he manifests to Vasudeva, he manifested in full. So the full consciousness and full awareness of Krishna, the super soul, became completely embodied within Vasudeva. It's also described here that he appeared in full opulence. These words, Angsa Bhagena, are in this particular verse. And Prabhupada quotes several of the acharyas in this purport, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And in Vishwanath's commentary on this particular verse, he expands a little bit on this. He explains this Angsa Bhagena, which means Angsa, of course, means expansion, or the arms or limbs of Krishna, so that when Krishna came into the heart and the mind of Vasudeva, he came with all of his plenary expansions, including the Purusha avatars. And of course, one of those Purusha avatars is Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who is also the super soul. But it appears that it was more than just the super soul, that Krishna came in full. He also came as Bhagavan. This word Bhaga is mentioned in all six opulences. So, in other words, Vasudeva's realization of Krishna was a little bit beyond what we would consider normal, like Paramatma realization. That Krishna actually came in full as Bhagavan and entered within him. So, of course, this is a very, very wonderful and very special occurrence, not ordinary at all. But of course, none of Krishna's pastimes and his appearances are ordinary. They all are spiritually extraordinary experiences, as we can see from this wonderful story of Krishna's appearance in the first few chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this word Vishvatma, as we mentioned, is used. Krishna is called Vishvatma, which means the super soul. Or sometimes, it's actually in several verses in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada uses it several times. And so it's variously defined as the super soul, or the super soul of the universe, or the super soul of all living entities. So while we think of the Paramatma as localized within the heart of every living entity, this Vishvatma is a little bit more broad term, which in other words, it's the original super soul, the super soul of the universe, which then, of course, expands, this plenary expansion, into the heart of every living entity. So you can think of it both ways, as just the super soul and as Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And when Purport Prabhupada mentions that Vishvatma is Shiradakshaya Vishnu, is, you know, basically the Purusha avatar of Krishna, who then is the super soul the soul of the entire universe, of every living entity, and then expands directly within every one of our hearts. So there are three Vishnu Purusha avatars. Does anybody remember who they are? When Krishna comes into this material world, there are three expansions, three Vishnu expansions. Anybody know those? Give you a hint. The first one is Mahavishnu, or Karnadakaya Vishnu. Remember the other two? Go ahead. Madhuri. Shiranakshay Vishnu is the third one. Very good. Who's the second one? Someone else say? It's Karnadakaya Vishnu, Shiranakshay Vishnu, and in the middle is he enters into the specific universe. Then Lord Brahma is born from the lotus stem, from his navel. Any guesses? It has something to do with the word born. Anyway, that's kind of technical. Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Right. Okay, you knew it? Okay, she was going to say it. All right. Okay, so anyway, this third expansion is Shiradaksha Vishnu, also who expands as the super soul within the heart of every living entity. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit today, this role of the super soul or Vishvatma, and how it works to help all living entities, and specifically his role in relationship with devotees. Just as we have this wonderful example of how he entered the heart of Vasudeva, fully illuminated his consciousness, the same super soul is also working for every devotee and has a very special relationship with all of us. So Prabhupada says in this purport, kind of sets the scene, you know, as we sort of take a step back, like, okay, where are we? So he says, first of all, we have forgotten Krishna. Pretty much being in this material world means we've forgotten Krishna. Now, some of you younger devotees may think, well, I remember Krishna. Well, you're very fortunate because you get the opportunity to remember Krishna from the very beginning of life. Many of